Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Biden shows us if you're anti-union, you don't belong running Social Security. The head man fired on Friday. Pension relief, a Labor Department ruling. And today on the show, the latest on public power, Labor's Local 860, and the Ohio State Building Trades. Welcome to the Monday, July 12th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. And today we have three guests on the show. Sarah Hanna Shrestha. I hope I pronounced that correctly. She's going to be our first guest, and she wears two hats. She is with the Democratic Socialists of America out of New York, the Hudson Valley, to be specific. And she's also a member of the Public Power New York Coalition. And that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today. This coalition is a statewide movement of community and advocacy organizations fighting for an environmentally sustainable energy system that's also racially, socially, and economically just. The coalition believes energy and a planet are human rights, a planet that's habitable, and we need to avert the climate crisis by eliminating the use of fossil fuels and transitioning to 100% renewable energy. How are they going to do this? Well, by taking over our for-profit energy system and bringing it under public, not-for-profit control. They point out, we can't fix greed. For profit, private corporations answer to Wall Street investors and therefore profit, and so cannot deliver either an effective or just plan to address the urgent challenges of the climate crisis. Residents are exploited with unaffordable rates. On top of that, poor service. And the energy grid, well, look what's happened. Good example, Texas there. So public power unplugs the greed and treats energy as a public good by creating a publicly owned utility system that's run with democratic accountability. And that's what it's all about. So it's part of the Green New Deal. Climate policy is worker policy and why this is good for workers. So she's going to be our first guest. Tony Libertor, who's the business manager, secretary, treasurer of Labor's Local 860, been on the show a number of times. He's going to be our second guest. Here's a union that's been around for 118 years. 860 has served the heavy highway and utilities construction trades throughout Ohio's Cuyahoga, Lake, and Geauga counties. And they've been doing that since 1937. Today, the local has more than 3,300 active members, 400 retirees, along with over 98% market share. Now, when I mentioned 118 years, that's LIUNA. This local has not been around 118 years, but LIUNA, Laborers International, is the presenting sponsor of this show, as you well know by now. Mike Nisley will be joining us later in the show, and he heads the Ohio State Building Trades, Ohio State Building Trades. .org is a website. We'll get an update on COVID, how it's affecting workers, how many workers are getting vaccinated. We'll touch on the bipartisan infrastructure bill, get his point of view on that. And if we have time, did this with Dorsey Hager about a week and a half ago, just like to get his feeling on that condo collapse in Florida. And the latest that I'm reading, apparently the building inspector was pretty corrupt down there. I guess a lot of the property managers gave him a couple of envelopes along the way and kind of like said, oh, well, the building's fine. You know, that's been going on for years. You know that. So Mike Nisley will be our third guest right here on America's Workforce. On Friday, President Biden fired Andrew Saul, the Social Security Commissioner, a Trump administration appointee, after he refused to resign from the post. Now, the move follows a tension-filled tenure as Democrats and elderly and disability advocates push for the president to get Mr. Saul out of there, who is known for his staunch anti-union stance that became increasingly controversial as the agency dealt with federal employee unions amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Democrats also blame Saul for delaying stimulus checks sent out earlier in the year. A White House official said Saul had, quote, undermined and politicized Social Security disability benefits. Now, Saul told the Washington Post, which first reported the news, that he would not leave his post and would challenge the legality of the firing. He called his termination a Friday night massacre and said he is a term-protected commissioner of Social Security. He told the Post he would still sign into work Monday, which would be today, and he would do that remotely from his home in New York. Well, Biden, in the meantime, named, and I hope I pronounced this correctly, Kilolo Kayajazi as the current deputy commissioner for retirement and disability policy to serve as acting commissioner until Biden brings on a permanent nominee. Saul's deputy, David Black, another Trump appointee, resigned Friday upon request. Now, the commissioner had frequently clashed with labor unions during his time at Social Security, with leaders of two unions calling for Biden to fire him on day one of his administration. The agency was a focal point in the Trump administration's effort to sideline the federal employee unions, among one of the quickest acting agencies in implementing executive orders aimed at slashing union bargaining power. It was ugly. The stories that we heard from the unions, it was pretty nasty under this guy. Since taking office, Saul has undermined and politicized Social Security disability benefits, terminated the agency's telework policy that was utilized by up to 25% of the workforce, not repaired SSA's relationships with relevant federal employee unions, including in the context of COVID-19 workplace safety planning, reduce due process protections for benefits appeals hearings, and taken other actions that run contrary to the mission of the agency. The termination is not normal, as the heads of independent agencies like Social Security don't turn over with new administrations. Now, Biden did remove Mark Calabria as the regulator of the U.S. mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That happened last month, just hours after the Supreme Court gave him the power to do so. And on Friday, the Biden administration cited that ruling, saying, hey, you know what? I can do it. The Supreme Court, which has, what, three Trump nominees, gave me the power to do it. Needless to say, the Republicans are up in arms. Mitch McConnell was quick to point out that this is unprecedented. Chuck Grassley out of Iowa said that Saul had bipartisan backing. And then Bill Pascrell, who's a Democrat out of New Jersey, who chairs the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Oversight, who had for months been calling for Saul's removal to protect Social Security. And he wrote a letter to the president in March expressing that he wanted him out of the agency. And again, it happened on Friday. And we have a comment here from Rich Fiesta, who we're going to feature on the show this Friday. Rich is head of the Alliance for Retired Americans. And in his release, he stated, Andrew Saul was a disaster for seniors and all Social Security beneficiaries. From day one, he was on a mission to gut the Social Security system from the inside. Thank you, President Biden, for taking decisive action. Rich went on to say, with 10,000 Americans turning 65 each and every day, the hardworking employees of Social Security deserve a leader who will also fight for them and the people of this nation whom they serve. On to pensions. As you know, in the American Rescue Plan, the multi-employer companies and the multi-employer pensions got relief, a lot of relief, like $86 billion. Well, on Friday, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh issued the following statement from the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and this was an issuance of an interim final rule implementing special financial assistance to the financially troubled multi-employer plans. It's kind of a formality what happened here. I mean, Congress allocated the money. They still had to go through the paperwork. And this is what Mr. Walsh said, quote, "Every working person deserves to retire with dignity and receive all the benefits that they earned during their career. As a member of the labor movement, I know firsthand how important pension security is to working families. As chair of its board of directors, I am proud that today's rulemaking by the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation will help secure the pensions of an estimated 3 million American workers, retirees, and their families by providing financial assistance to over 200 severely underfunded multi-employer plans." Marty went on to say, "This is a historic achievement to secure the pension benefits of hardworking union members and the most substantial policy ever passed to further the solvency of our nation's multi-employer pension plans. Unions, their members, and beneficiaries of these plans have been fighting for years for what these workers have earned." He wrapped up by saying the Biden-Harris administration made it a priority to stand with them, working closely with Congress to ensure this assistance was included in the American Rescue Plan. The PBGC's regulation implements the program just as Congress designed it. This is just one way the administration is protecting the retirement benefits of workers and retirees, which is one of my top priorities at the Department of Labor. Marty Walsh, U.S. Secretary of Labor. Good news for so many people seeking that relief. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the need for public power. Take power away from Wall Street and give it to the people. That's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Multiple sclerosis is trying to shut people down. That's what it does. MS disrupts signals, divides minds from bodies, pulls us from our lives and away from each other. MS destroys connections, so it's only fitting that connections would be its greatest enemy. Because as more connections form, maybe more questions will lead to more answers. Maybe more understanding will lead to more resources. Maybe more people sharing what they've lived through will lead to better lives. And if everyone touched by this disease, every person with MS, every family affected by it, every doctor treating it, and every individual who hears what this disease does, combine their efforts and knowledge and hope, then maybe the connections we make can become more powerful than the connections MS destroys. MS kills connection. Connection kills MS. Give what you know at msconnection.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, celebrating 50 years, starting in Cleveland, Ohio in 1971. You can find more at ulagency.org. We're going to jump to our second planned guest, so we're having a little bit of difficulty linking up with Sarah Hanna Shrestha. She was going to talk about public power. It's interesting what's going on in the state of New York. They're trying to basically get into renewables. That's part of the Green New Deal, and have it in a nonprofit form so the Wall Street folks wouldn't benefit. Kind of interesting. That being said, before we get to a Tony Liberatore, I just want to call your attention to a website which you should check out. It's called freedomtojointogether.com. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, freedomtojointogether.com. As you know, we're trying to get the PRO Act passed, and that's to protect the right to organize. We have 47 Democrats. It's kind of stuck there. Got the two senators in Arizona, Mark Warner in Virginia. And for quite some time now, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, has said, if you get 50 senators, we'll try to push this through, perhaps through reconciliation. Otherwise, you got the filibuster. That thing is just crazy in itself. But here's the number to call, 866-832-1560, 866-832-1560. And that website, Freedom to Join Together, points out that 65% of Americans, that's a clear majority, right? 65% approve of unions, but only 1 in 10 have the freedom to be in a union. Union-busting corporations have purchased politicians, we know that. They rig the courts, oh yeah, and finance an entire industry dedicated to denying working Americans their freedom to join together in unions. So check out that website, sign on to it, and this is all connected to the AFL-CIO, freedomtojointogether.com. All right, let's go to our live line and join Tony Liberatore. Tony is the business manager, secretary, treasurer of a great union. And we're talking about Labor's Local 860. Website is labors860.com, and they're part of LIUNA, the presenting sponsor of this America's Workforce show. Tony Liberatore, welcome back. Hey, thanks for joining us, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Labors860.com. I see your billboards all around northeastern Ohio. You're obviously involved in highway construction. Let's start right there, if you don't mind. We're seeing a lot of construction. We've got a lot of talk about an infrastructure deal. In fact, there was some bipartisan agreement a couple of weeks ago. Just like to get your thoughts on all of that, and how many people are actually working right now in the field, and what's the future look like?
Oh, well, there's all positive. We have some points here. Reinstating the National Labor Relations Board quickie election procedures, reduce the time between union petitions for the election and the date the election is held. Very progressive. Ban mandatory meetings when employers speak to employees about the effects of unionization on the workplace. Subject employers to fines of up to $50,000 for each violation of the National Labor Relations Act, as well as expose them to private lawsuits for such violations. How about banning employers from permanently replacing strikers and allowing secondary boycotts, which have been illegal since 1947? Of course, they harm uninvolved employers and employees. And the best one here is nullify right work laws by permitting employers and unions to agree to require all unions to pay union dues. So it's sweeping. And, I couldn't feel better about the new administration. Our own very own Local 223, Marty Walsh is appointed to the labor secretary. Can you imagine that, having a union member as a labor secretary?
I know.
couldn't be more excited.
I think that's the first time in like a half a century. I was just mentioning him at the top of the show because they finally got it all squared away. As you know, in the American Rescue Plan, there's relief for the multi-employer plans, which were underwater. And nobody was doing anything about this. I think it was since 2014 when they kind of closed the books on this, and the Republicans didn't want to do anything. But finally, you get a pro-union guy in there, and you get the right labor secretary. Bingo. We got the final rule on the financial assistance. And I can only assume that this is going to be taken care of before the end of the year. But everything is moving in the right direction. Nonetheless, Biden's getting a lot of grief. Have you had an opportunity to look at this infrastructure deal here? Because this is going to mean a lot of work for your members, right?
Oh, without question. We expect to see the type of work that, you know, we have been working since 1937. And I couldn't be prouder to represent a workforce that is as productive. And that's part of our success. Certainly a foundation for any labor union. And it's, of course, with our 99% market share, launched us into the public sector. And the private sector, they work for private contractors, but on public projects. But our public sector, of course, we're up to 19 service departments in around the Cleveland area. And basically, of course, public workers working for public entities, these folks, they basically perform the same work as our private guys, more maintenance. You know, there's 60-plus communities in and around Cuyahoga County. And, you know, we're at 19 service departments and growing. We've just picked up Olmsted Falls, and we've even reached, we've been with the county now for a while, various departments since they've consolidated with the new government. What's most exciting is the 170 sheriff deputies that now have signed up, which we are now negotiating a CBA with them. So we couldn't be prouder, and you know, folks are recognizing the strengths of LIUNA, particularly in Cleveland. And in during the course of my tenure, we've doubled in size from under 2,000, over doubled to over 4,300.
That's incredible. I'll tell you, National's got to be really proud having you on board at 860.
Well,
good stuff.
So it's all about the members. Again, you know, in the private sector and the highway work, we have had tremendous success. We just have great people. You mentioned the legislation to assist pension funds that have really taken a beating, particularly around 08. You know, it was a perfect storm for these funds with the retirement rolls increasing and the devastation of the recession of that period. But I couldn't be prouder of Ohio Laborers, fully funded, $2.5 billion. And we're as strong as we've ever been.
That's great. Hold that thought, because there's some problems. I know there's a war on workers that you want to address. You want to do that in the next segment? Is that okay? You have enough time?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Good, good. Tony Libertor, who is business manager, secretary, treasurer of Laborers 860. They're part of our presenting sponsor here. We're talking about Laborers International Union of North America, LIUNA.org. Been around since 1903. Also, Mike Nisley on behalf of the Ohio State Building Trades. He'll be joining us on the show. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Candace Jones with the American Academy of Pediatrics. I know we're all looking forward to getting back to life after the pandemic. That's why now is the time to get your kids caught up on their childhood vaccines, so they'll be protected from things like measles and meningitis when the world starts to open up again. When you call your pediatrician to schedule their checkup, it's a superhero moment. Call your pediatrician today.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, we're available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute and do this. Sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We'd appreciate a five-star rating. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Tony Libertor on behalf of Labor's Local 860. Labor's860.com is a website. So we got a pro-union administration. Things are moving in the right direction. We got pension relief. You're growing your union. You almost doubled the size since you took over. But you have some problems in the juvenile court system. We did talk about this in a previous show. Why don't you just refresh our listeners on what's going on, Tony? Go ahead.
Well, we couldn't be more excited with the change in administration, Washington, a renewed sense of positivity in the White House. But we still can't get comfortable. Even in our backyard here, the war on workers still lurks in plain sight. It's never hit this close to home before. Two Cuyahoga County Democrats have embraced a far-right anti-worker union-busting ideals and basically terminated our collective bargaining unit at the December, the end of the year. It's been a real struggle with them. They continue to lose employees without our representation. Of course, it's become a court battle now. A year and a half ago, we demonstrated for more staff and better safety when we were just under 80 detention officers. And now the court has blowed 60 detention officers. The juvenile court's a little different, a whole different set of rules. They're not inmates, they're residents. The detention officers, they're not correction officers as you would find in any kind of jail.
Mm-hmm.
But these residents, the violence is on an uptick. Injuries as well as violence towards the staff is on the uptick. We've seen juveniles with jaws and eye sockets broken by other juveniles. There's just no control over there. With the loss of detention officers, now they're doubling as housekeeping because they've lost a number of housekeeping personnel. Multiple staff, as a result, where we would defend the members of ours, they've had to hire private attorneys to fight and defend against the unfair discipline since we were locked out. So it's a constant struggle. And we've created a campaign to call attention to the travesty that's happened here right in our backyard.
So how can people help out on this? Obviously, there's a lot of solidarity. Are we engaging the community here to, you know, call attention to what's going on? Can you pick it up from there?
I'm very sorry to say the administrator, she's a council person in Lakewood. Her name is Tess Neff, and she is running for Lakewood Court. And unfortunately, despite, you know, the awareness out there, a number of local unions have endorsed her. Very frustrating for us. So, you know, it gives the appearance of disorganized labor.
Yeah. So what's the what's going forward here for Labor's 860? Can you give us some more information on, you know, where what the game plan is?
Well, we're going to continue to challenge the termination of the contract. And it's in the courts now. We've just had action in a federal court, and it was turned back to common pleas. So we're still working diligently to get these folks the representation they need. It's a very dark hour for labor, and these poor folks... the courts just simply strip the workers of their rights. And
yeah,
it's really a real travesty. But, you know, 860 is known for their diligence in representing the members, and we're going to continue to take the action to turn this whole situation around. And hopefully we'll see some success.
Tony, let me ask you, did you see this coming? I mean, were the seeds planted a while ago on this? This is very unusual. That's all. Especially, there's been a lot of cohesiveness with unions over the years, especially, and look at the way, as you pointed out in the previous segment, you've been growing in the public sector. This one is kind of surprising, right?
Yeah, it's a sticking point. We've had a number of... contracts. What's being disputed specifically is the Evergreen Clause, which calls for the removal of 860 through either getting voted out or quitting, one or the other, which neither one has been occurred. So we're going to continue to, you know, fight for this language in the courts and keep fighting until we find success. It's, again, frustrating that we're seeing other local unions supporting these folks who have turned against us and the workers. And it's just a crazy situation. And,
yeah.
You know, secrecy is, you know, the weapon here, you know, unawareness. So that's why we're talking about it today, because we're going to bring an awareness to this situation. And it's just astounding that something this close to home has occurred.
One more question here before I let you go. Is there anything that the national union can do? I mean, you got a really, really powerful group behind you. Is that have you thought of going down that road yet?
You know what? It's the national union. They have their hands full nationally, and being one of the most successful or the most successful local affiliate, you know, we're certainly not going to be endorsing these candidates on that panel, and we're going to encourage other unions not to, as well. So. They really have their hands full in Cleveland, particularly with the congressional race. And, you know, it's going to be interesting with the mayoral race as well. So Dennis Kucinich being on the forefront, you know, that guy, as long as he's been around, the only candidate to run a reelection campaign for the mayor's office, and certainly union friendly. Here's a guy that has spent more time on picket lines than most labor representatives. So we're looking forward to seeing things turn around. We represent nearly 500 workers over with the city of Cleveland. So it's been a struggle with them, taken over a year and a half for these folks to get retroactive pay from the last ratified CBA. So, you know, it's we're going to remain diligent and, you know, continue the fight for our members.
Yeah, interesting political times. The congressional seat that Tony is referring to is the seat being vacated or was vacated by Marcia Fudge, who is now the secretary of HUD. And then Frank Jackson, who's been mayor for 16 years, is not running. So, yeah, some major changes in northeastern Ohio ahead. Tony, I'm going to leave it on that note. Tony Libertor, business manager, secretary treasurer of a great union, Labor's 860, labors860.com for more information. You take care. Good luck to you. You got some struggles on your watch there. So stay safe, stay strong, and keep in touch with us, okay?
Well, the Flash, you've seen our billboards out there. It's the best we can do to protect the membership. It's unfortunate. You know, we've had some fatalities. Statewide, member down in Cincinnati was tragically run over, run down as a flagger on a highway project. And we've recently had a fellow member hurt on a job, killed by a power tool, of all things. So we're going to remain diligent with our safety program and protect our members, and that's what it's all about. It's who we are. It's what we do.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. Safety first, no matter what. Okay, brother, take care. We'll keep in touch, okay?
Thank you. Be safe.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Mike Nisley heads the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council. He's coming up next. Back in a few.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Across America, middle and high school students are making a difference in their communities. The Prudential Spirit of Community Awards honors them for their volunteer service.
If you would like to learn more, visit spirit.prudential.com.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast. And that's also our Twitter handle, at AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while that we had this gentleman on. His name is Mike Knisley, and he's head of the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council. OhioStateBuildingTrades.org is a website. And he's here to talk about several things, the vaccine, COVID, infrastructure, but also the condo collapse in Florida, which is now a recovery mission. Mr. Knisley, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Flash, and heavy on the mister. I always like hearing that.
You deserve the respect, sir.
I don't know about that. But anyway, it's great being back. Thanks.
Not a problem. Yeah, you know what? Everybody's been watching that, and I think it's just tragic, and it's something that does not happen on a regular basis. I can't think of anything that happened close to this. I talked to Dorsey Hager a couple of weeks ago, and at that time, I mean, everything was kind of premature, but you know, you've been in trades all your life, and you work with various trades. What's your thoughts on what happened there, Mike?
You know, so I've got a couple thoughts. I've watched this like everybody has. I mean, first of all, you've got the environment that condo was, you know, sitting on location-wise, you know, right next to the ocean, salt water hitting the concrete all the time. From what I understand, if you don't keep it sealed, it gets in there, permeates into the concrete, and then just wreaks havoc between the concrete itself where it starts spalling and the rebar. But I think the bigger point, when I look around the United States and I look where we're at in Ohio and what they do in the South and in Florida, it's no jab or anything like that. Just the facts is they seem to be highly unregulated. You know, the cheapest cost you can get in there. They really don't embrace the union trades that have the training and the commitment to putting in a good product. And so I look at my own career as a pipe fitter, just any tradesperson. They step back and they can say 30 years later, I put that in. And there's some accountability, to that. And then the other thing is back to that unregulated state. In Ohio, we have all these certifications and these processes, whether you're an electrician, a plumber, elevator constructor, stationary engineer, and architect, you know, professional engineer, it doesn't matter. But we have this great process in there that keeps us on point, and it keeps things like that from happening around here and around states like Ohio that have a rigid licensing program and accountability. And it's crazy that we get these lawmakers in the state, and I deal with this all the time here in Columbus, that want to just do away with that. And I remember when that bridge collapse happened, Flash, in Florida a few years ago, and the architects were pushing back against this lawmaker, and they said, look, we don't want bridges to collapse like they do in Florida. And here's just another case of when you get a little too loose with things, this is what happens. So I just want to make that point.
Good point. And there's so many what they call them, like, free market people. And they said, oh, you know, they know what to do. Let them control what they know best. And unfortunately, you've seen the disasters over time. And in this case, too, I was reading this last week that the inspector apparently was either corrupt or incompetent because he kept giving the complex a clean bill of health. I mean, there were cracks in the armor. I think in 2018 there were some there was a report by an engineer saying, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it was totally ignored. So unfortunately, all of this is going to come out. There's going to be a court battle and so many lives lost. It's just tragic. Okay, so let's move on here. Mike, how are we doing with the workforce here? I mean, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We've got the Delta variant that's scaring a lot of folks. Just wondering, what's your take on everything right now?
So right now in Ohio, the reports have come from our 14 different councils, and we represent 138 different trade unions, you know, 15 pipe fitters, 20 electricians, that sort of thing. it's still a strong place for us to be. And I think people have been surprised on the rebound from the pandemic, as well as what I say is the strength of the building trades, because we, and thanks to Governor DeWine, I've got to give him, you know, some thanks on this. We were able to, for the most part, work through the pandemic in 2020 into 2021, as long as we followed the safety and the protocols and the CDC guidelines, social distancing. And the building trades always embrace that mantra, you know, to make the job site safer. So none of this was foreign to us. And I think that's what put us not only in the position through the pandemic, but to come out of the pandemic stronger as ever. And I'm just proud of the 100,000 men and women that put a hard hat on, that work in union construction every day here in Ohio, what they did for the last 15 months. It's just unbelievable that they got through this pretty much unscathed. So looking real good this year for work-wise. A couple soft spots. Refining still a little soft. Southeastern Ohio and Appalachia still a little soft. But for the most part, the state's doing very well, Flash.
What about the budget? I'm just wondering if there was anything in there that affected construction, capital improvements. Do you know any of that part yet, Mike?
So the budget, for the most part, we came out pretty decent on it. There was a forced accounts language that was in there that would have opened up townships, counties, the state to do more work on their own, which would have been detrimental, you know, to the building trades. And it really wasn't in their bailiwick, so to speak. I'm using an old term there. They're not experts at that. And so we were able to keep that contained with just a small cost of living, which was great for all the trades. There was some detrimental language I was speaking about earlier, Flash, about decertification, you know, where they wanted to take every trade and just decertify. If you're an electrician, you didn't need a license. If you were a plumber, just go at it, you know, with no experience at all. Architects, engineers, teachers, didn't matter what the occupation was. Through the common sense of the state representatives, they were able, that didn't even see the light of day. I've got to give Speaker Cup quite a bit of credit for that. And just for capital improvements, we see, you know, a lot of money going back into schools. I think some of that's federal too, monies, yeah, but also the universities, just statewide. So we were, if I got to give it a scorecard, I'm going to give it an A minus on how we came out with the budget and legislation this year, Flash. Very happy
with
it.
That's good to hear. Yeah, yeah. I know they got more money for the schools. And to your point, we had the head of the Florida Education Association on the show last week. And it's really bad down there when it comes to funding for schools. And you, sure, mentioned certification. You don't even have to have a college degree to teach in Florida. And in one school, it was an elementary school, the principal's 22 years old. Can you believe that? 22 years old in Florida. It's like, wait a minute. Oh, my God. It's like Sherrod Brown says, it's a race to the bottom. You know, we don't want that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Yeah. And that's the thing we keep reinforcing, Flash, with our legislative staff here at the High State Building Trades. I give Matt Slazy a lot of credit for this, and as well as our council leaders and our union leaders, is just keep reinforcing. There's nothing wrong with being at the top of the pack. Who wants, yeah, to be at the bottom? Who wants that T-shirt that says I'm the biggest loser, you know, here? I don't get that. But I'm glad that we're able to find that common ground here in Ohio. Even with some of the crazy politics that go on, we're able to have a counterweight, so to speak, to things like decertification, race to the bottom, that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a voice, and you obviously have that voice, especially in the legislature. I want to move on to this bipartisan infrastructure bill. I'm sure you had your eye on that one. Don't know, yep, if it's going to pass. Apparently, there is support from Republicans on this. Whether we can get all of them on board, I don't know. But any thoughts? Have you looked through it at all?
I've looked through it, and I think we probably talked about this 3 months ago, whenever I was last on the show. I was thinking it was maybe in the end of March. And it is just asinine, and I'm using kind of a strong word here on the air, and you might have to delete it, but it's just crazy, Flash, that here we are. We can't seem to get this thing going. I travel all over the state, and the highways, it looks like Baghdad out there with the potholes and what you've got to do, you know, to dodge around it. And it's just crazy that we can't find just one bipartisan thing to get a majority of support from, when I would venture to guess 90% of Americans, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever party you are, would support an infrastructure package. And it's just crazy we can't get there. I'm still holding out hope. It looks like it's very much watered down from where it was. And maybe some of this, what they consider the social side of it, was taken out. And maybe that comes at a latter date. Maybe we get back to the 1950s, 60s model of infrastructure, roadways and bridges and things like that. But I'm optimistically holding out hope that we get this done before the end of the year. It's so much needed. I think people have hit their patience threshold on where this is going to end up with. So I'm there. I'm just cautiously waiting. That's all I can say.
I hear you. Yeah, and as we wait, we're losing money. I mean, people are stuck in traffic. You mentioned the potholes. Look what kind of damage it does to your car. I mean, we can go on and on and on, and there's facts and figures on that, which we've covered over the years. But regarding the latest piece of legislation, many are saying that this is kind of like a down payment. There's going to be more. So they want to take what they can now and then add to it. Another thing here, pension relief, and I got this from our labor secretary, who comes from the building trades. I'm talking about Marty Walsh. On Friday, he issued a statement that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation came out with their interim final rule implementing special financial assistance to the financially troubled multi-employer pension plans. And we're talking 200 plans. And 3 million workers, retirees, and their families. And I know some of the unions have taken a haircut on this. But here's just another example of the fact that elections matter. This is a good day for the trades, right, Mike?
It's a great day. And I remember Sherrod, Senator Brown, calling me on the Saturday after the bill passed. It was in the COVID bill. And I myself, and I told this to Senator Brown many times before, I just don't see this ever getting. There was so much Republican opposition to it. But he called me and he let me know that they got it through. And it was the 11th hour, 11th minute, 11th second, right at the wire. But they got it through. And what this means is trades guys, Teamsters, bakery people, whoever was under contract and they're long retired and they're in their 70s and 80s, and let's just get real, they're not going back in the workforce, not for anything, any kind of meaningful 40-hour work. So that notion that people, you know, they just go back in the workforce, this allows them to continue to have retirement with dignity and not take a haircut. And some already did, and they are able to get some of that back. And so I thought it was a great day, long overdue. And it just seems I finally saw some light at the end of the tunnel, and we still have some good people doing good things in the House and the Senate. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we just got to keep going in the right direction, no doubt about that. All right, Mike, real good. Anything else here? I got a couple of seconds. Anyone want to call attention to in the months ahead?
No, just our constitutional conventions is this September, Flash, right here in downtown Columbus. We'll have all our delegates in and have some great speakers, some politicians in there. But we're just looking forward to keep Ohio moving in the right direction. Feel pretty good about this state. And I want to tell you, thanks for having me on.
I love to hear that. You take care, stay safe, and we'll talk down the road, all right?
Very good.
Mike Nisley of the Ohio State Building Trades, ohiostatebuildingtrades.org, the website. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the Communication Workers of America and the Cleveland Building Trades. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.